Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. All right, now y'all stay awake. It's going to be kind of tough this afternoon. We were looking forward to that fellowship. Me and Tiff were talking yesterday, and we have a church full of cooks up here. I've been to some church fellowships that were kind of like walking through a minefield. You know, you just never quite know what you're going to get. But here, we knew what to expect. We knew it was going to be very good, and my kids have been excited about it, and then us cooking stuff at home and the smells in the house. It's Thanksgiving. It's blessed assurance. Yeah, it's good. So I know this. I got a challenge ahead of me because we all just ate turkey loaded with tryptophan and ate a lot of heavy stuff. And I eat too, so I'm with you. I intentionally have a short message this afternoon. Is anybody upset about that? So here's the deal. When I get a message that this short, it makes me so nervous because I'm just like, they don't think I even studied for this. It's so short. But then I actually to date have yet to have a complaint about the message being too short. So I think we'll be fine. What I decided to do, we're in Colossians on Sunday evenings or afternoons. So if you'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, what we're going to do is I'm not really continuing our series. I'm not going to take the next set of verses. Rather, I'm going to take a couple of the verses that we've already looked at, and then one that is coming up in chapter 4, and just note where it talks about being thankful. There's three places here just recently, and I didn't emphasize that part of the verse when I was preaching it. And so there's three verses here that deal with being thankful. And so what you can gather from these three verses is it's not a repeat of be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, but it's three aspects of faithfulness, or thankfulness rather, given right here in our text in Colossians. So you might remember in chapter 3, he's teaching us how to live. Colossians is all about the preeminence of Christ, right? Christ first. That's the series, right? That Jesus is first place. Chapter 1 and 2 really establishes that doctrinally. Chapter 2 defends it. Chapter 3 and 4 tells us how we are to live now that we know that. Now that we know that Jesus is first, how are we to live? Well, one of the things that should be a given in the Christian's life is thankfulness. Amen? Now notice this. There's three verses here. And again, I'm going to move fast on purpose tonight. But there's three places. I want us just to think about what it means to be thankful. And this doesn't mean I'm not teaching about Thanksgiving next week too, because that's the real Thanksgiving. And so just know it may be coming again, something like this. But look at verse 15 with me. We're just going to look at verse 15. We're going to look at verse 17. And then we're going to look at chapter 4 and verse 2. So let's look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Notice what it says here, kind of tacked on. And be ye thankful. Look at verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. These are little add-on, you might say, or tacked-on phrases. You, hopefully we notice what we're reading, but sometimes when you know, he just tacks on, oh, and to be thankful. If you're not careful, we'll just read right past it. Look at chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Amen. So let's look at this, what it means to be thankful. Three things. The first one is this. In verse 15, the Bible tells us, be ye thankful. So this is a really that thankfulness should be the descriptive word of our life, that we should be thankful. So the first commandment, or we're going to look at three different aspects of thankfulness. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share with you the aspect of thankfulness, and then I'm going to give you what the opposite would be. Because sometimes it helps me if I know what the opposite is, then I'm like, oh, that's what he's talking about, right? Thankfulness as a state of being. I am thankful. What it means is this. It means to be contented. To be content, right? If we're thankful, if we are being thankful, as he's telling us to be, is if we're thankful as in a state of being, we're contented, we're satisfied, we're settled. The opposite would be covetous, right? Wanting, always wanting more, always looking for something else. So that's the idea. If we're either going to be always wanting, or we're going to be content. And being thankful means I'm happy about the way God has arranged my life right now. Let me read you a few verses. Philippians 4 and verse 11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," this is Paul, "in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And so the one way that we're thankful, or how we have that sort of that state of thankfulness, that we're just thankful of heart and thankful of the mind, is that we're just content with what God's given us. And Paul in Philippians, he's like, I've learned to want. I've learned to have needs. I've learned to, there's those times where it seems like the cup is overflowing. Either way, I'm just content. I'm content. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." You know, that's very simple. You got clothes on your back and something in your belly, be content. You really don't need much else over that, do you? And I'm telling you right now, we all have that. Because I can view the room. Everybody's wearing clothes. Praise the Lord. We don't have any problems we got to deal with tonight. Right? And also, I just came from a fellowship where we, borderline gluttony. But, you know, we had a good time. You know, it was good. So here's what I'm saying. We should all, with that, be content. God is good. We have what we need. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I love what the writer of Hebrews does, is he says, don't be wanting everything. Be content with what you have. Here's why. Jesus is with you. He's with you. What do you need if the Savior is with you, right? The psalmist in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I always took that to mean, okay, you're the sheep and the shepherd is always providing. And yes, that's true. So you have what you need. But he says this, "I shall not want." In other words, whatever the shepherd gives me, I'm not wanting anything more than that. I'm not wanting anything beyond that. I shall not want. So it's not just a state of, I have everything I need. It's a state of heart attitude. No. I'm not going to desire outside of what God has given me. So contentedness, if we're truly thankful, then we are going to be content with what we have. That's a large part of what being thankful is. And listen, the world has taught us to always want more. We live in a society of more is better, more is what we need. And I'm not going to step on any toes here tonight, or try not to, but you know, it doesn't matter what we get, we always want something else. There's never an end to it. And I was going to bring up like guns and shoes, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying, whatever we get, it's never enough. We always got to have the next thing. And it's like, I've had this happen to where I bought a thing I thought I really needed. You know, I really thought I needed it. And then the company the next week comes out with a better version of what I just bought. And I'm going, well, now I need that one because they made all these improvements. So you get that one, and then what happens? They make another one. Now, if they get it over on you twice, it starts to become your problem, right? Here's the thing. I can't speak for everyone. I believe I can speak for most of us when I say this. We've got food and raiment. Therewith be content, right? So that is the first state. Just a state of being, be thankful. And notice, this is a command. Did you get that? It's a command. Be ye thankful. Let's look at the second one, verse 17. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So this, it comes from a grateful heart, someone who's already thankful. But now, notice, this is an action. They're giving thanks. This is an expression of thanks. So it's kind of like Brother Mark said, I think, was that Wednesday, about we're singing, and he's like, he paused, and he's like, "Hey, if you're joyful, tell your face," or whatever he said. It was real rude of him to say that. I'll just say this. I struggle to sing and smile at the same time. Y'all ever tried to do that? I feel very awkward about it. Anyway, that's just my own insecurity. You're right, Brother Mark. We should. I'm sure he was looking at me when he said that. But I was happy. But anyway, what was I doing? Preaching. Okay. If we're thankful of heart, it's going to come out. That's what I'm getting at. We're going to say thank you. We've all been in that situation where we've done something really nice or thoughtful for someone, and they didn't what? Say thank you. Some of you people are real good at the thank you notes. You know, And it's like, you know, if you smile at someone the right way, you might get a thank you note. And it's, you know, just they get those thank you notes out. Why is that? It's just an expression of man, I really appreciate what you did. And it means a lot when someone just simply says thank you. And we know how it feels when we've done something nice and that thanks is not given to us. Well, how do you think God feels? That he's given, I mean, we have no clue how good God has made it for us, really. We don't really understand just how good he's made it for us. How dare we not say thank you? So the passage is this, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we're to tell God in our own time, in our own prayer, you should find yourself just in life, you're walking down the street, you're driving down the road, you're on your knees in prayer, whatever, just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for this answer to prayer. Whatever it is, I said this, I think I've said it a couple times today, but we're really quick to have a long prayer list and a real short praise list. We really are. And what we ought to do is maybe keep the prayers on one side, flip it over on the other side, and put the praises. And don't just drop those off the next week. Take a week or two and just keep thanking the Lord. Hey, you answered this prayer. And so many times as I was looking at this, I always think about those 10 lepers in Jesus' day. You know, the 10 lepers come to Jesus, a death sentence, right? They all have a death sentence, and they literally have a disease they can't control. Limbs are falling off. I mean, their life is awful. They're separated from their families. They're separated from the town. And so Jesus heals all of them. And they all just, so excited about it, they all start running home. And one of them, I don't know what happened, but one of them thinks, you know, maybe we ought to go say thank you for this. One of the 10 turned back and goes and says thank you to the Lord. And the Lord says, where, didn't I heal 10? Where are the 9? So many times, and I know leprosy is a big deal, but so many times I'm guilty of just running from one prayer request to the next, to the next, to the next. Okay, God answered that one. Now, what's the next one? Let's get that one prayed. Oh, he answered that. Let's go. And we're not taking time to thank him. If we're going to pray and ask him to work for us, if we're going to pray and ask him to come through with a prayer request, then we must pray and tell him thank you. Not only that, we should be praising the Lord to our fellow man. We should let others know, hey, let me tell you what God did for me this week. We were praying about this, and man, the Lord really came through, and that's giving him praise. So 2 points then so far. We're to be thankful as a state of being. It's just supposed to be in us. And if we have food and raiment, and I mean, man, as a born-again Christian, can I just say, if you're just saved from hell for all of eternity, isn't that good enough reason to just say thank you? Then we need to express it. The third one is this. We need to live thankfully. Look at chapter 4 and look at verse 2. And this one is a little bit, just put your thinking cap on real quick. But to live thankfully, he says this, continue in prayer and watch in the same. That's prayer, watch in the same. So continue in prayer and watch in the prayer. And then he adds, with thanksgiving. Okay, so I'll deal with the with thanksgiving in a second. Let's just understand what he's saying. He's saying, church, as you move forward in life, you have to continue in prayer. You got to pray about everything. Pray about tomorrow. Pray about everything. Pray. You're going to pray your way through this life. That's what he's saying. You're going to continue in prayer. And then he uses the word watch. And when he's using that word watch, there's a lot of different contexts that word is used in. You could be watching to make sure, as he says in another passage, that you're living circumspectly. So you're just like watching out for temptation, making sure I'm not going to fall in this pitfall. I'm not going to, you know, I'm watching. It also could be that you're watching out for your brother and sister in Christ. There's context in which, you know, you're watching out for the church, or you're watching out for someone else. There's other times where you're watching the state of the world and you're awaiting the Lord's return. That's another context which that word watches. He's saying, as you continue and as you watch, do it all in prayer, right? In the same, continue in prayer and watch in the same. So go forward in life in prayer, but then he says this, with thanksgiving. You go, how can I'm trying to explain this. How can I continue in prayer and watch in prayer looking forward to the future, unaware of what may happen, but I need to do that with thanksgiving. Hold on. I didn't give you the opposite of number two. Let me give you that. Complaining, right? Thankful, if you're expressing thankfulness, the opposite of that would be expressing your complaint, okay? The reason I'm going to need to give you the opposite, because I got an opposite for this one too, and then I wouldn't even feel right all the rest of the day if I didn't give you all the opposites, okay? So, state of being, thankful. The opposite is covetous or wanting. Giving thanks, expressing our thanks, the opposite would be complaining. Living thankfully. Okay. Took me a minute. How do I pray thankfully? Okay, I'm praying for something. I don't know how the outcome's going to be. And I do it with thanksgiving. I'm unaware if this prayer request will be answered the way I think it needs to be answered. I'm unaware of what set of circumstances is going to face that I'm going to face tomorrow, but I'm going to watch and continue in prayer with thanksgiving. I'm in effect then, as a Christian, I'm thanking God before. I'm thanking God beforehand. This is a really neat thought. What you're doing, if you're thanking God beforehand, what you're doing is you're weaving together prayer, of course. You're weaving together prayer with faith. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know the God of tomorrow. And so as I pray right now, I know He's got it covered, regardless of what that outcome might be. So thank the Lord. And praise the Lord. You know what the opposite is? And this is where it gets us. It's worry. The opposite of that is worry. So, you know, this is a tough message. If you're worrying, it's a lack of thankfulness. It is. Well, that hurts. Because we all worry at times. But that's what it is. Because we're worried. We're thinking about our circumstance, not the God of the circumstance. And that's the problem. So what he's saying is, as you move forward and you're continuing forward, you're praying, you're watching, he's obviously talking about the things we don't know or that are going to happen. He says, do that with thanksgiving because you know the God of tomorrow. In 2 Timothy 1, 2, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is telling Timothy, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I trust and I believe in the God of tomorrow. We sing the song. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Faith woven with prayer is thankfulness. It's a way to live thankful moving forward. So what should we be? Well, we should be thankful in being thankful. Not covetous, not wanting. We should then express our thanks to God, and we have opportunities to do that all the time, to him in prayer, to one another, in church, or just in the hallway, whatever. We're able to praise the Lord. Thirdly, and I think this is the most powerful one, that we're to live thankfully, knowing that whatever, listen, it's, what is today? Sunday, November the 16th. Whatever Monday, November the 17th holds, we know who holds tomorrow. And we can be thankful for that. We know tomorrow, he's got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. I can thank God today for what he'll do tomorrow. And that's living thankfully. Let's pray together.